Quick share. So most of the stories that we've spoken about, and most of the stories that are recounted by the Gemara in Gittin, are second Churban stories, because Chazal lived closer, they lived through the Churban. So they knew the stories. They didn't really know that many of the stories about the first Beis HaMikdash, because it was hundreds of years before. But one of the most horrific stories is retold by the Gemara in Gittin. Amar Rabbi bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Shua bin Karcha. Okay, these are the Tanayim. Sachli Zakin Echad Me'anshe Yushalayim. An old man in Yushalayim told me this story. So you just see that Chazal didn't have access. First, we'll put it here. Chazal didn't have access, didn't have access to those stories because it was hundreds of years before. So all the other stories were being told first person. This story, Rabbi Shua bin Karcha, said, I once heard from an older man who told me, he pointed to the following valley, and he said, that's the valley where Nebuzradan, the executioner of Nebuchadnezzar, murdered 2 million Jews. Just to give you a sense of the proportion. And then he said, and Yerushalayim, in addition to the 2 million Jews he murdered in that valley, in Yerushalayim, Nebuzradan murdered another, about 1 million Jews. Now, he told the story of the murder of 1 million Jews, about 900,000 Jews in Yerushalayim. We don't really know why he killed 2 million in that valley. It's probably a war. Normally, bad wars in valleys. You don't go to battle on mountains. You meet the other armies in the valley. Although we don't really have any record that the Jews defended themselves against Nebuchadnezzar. When it comes to the Romans, the Jews battled the Romans. We don't really see the Jews battling Nebuchadnezzar, but maybe there was a war in which 2 million people were killed. Maybe just butchered 2 million Jews. In any event, wow, this is loud. In any event, okay, this is the story. I'll summarize the story, then I'll point out some of the features that the story is trying to highlight. The Jews, a couple years early, we don't know how much earlier, had murdered Zechariah. Not Zechariah of Sefer Zechariah, this is a different Zechariah. This is Zechariah ben Yehoyada, one of the Nevi'im of the first Beis HaMikdash, who tried to chastise the Jews and rebuke them and improve them morally. So the Jews had murdered him in the Beis HaMikdash. And his blood was not absorbed by the ground, and it continued to bubble for years, to simmer. And then when Nebuzradan came, and he saw the blood in the Beis HaMikdash, he said, what is this blood? So at first they tried to lie to him. At first they said, this blood, it's the blood of Korbanos. So he brought animal blood, and the blood didn't behave that way. The texture was different. It wasn't bubbling. So he says, you're lying to me. This isn't the blood of Korbanos. And then they came clean, and they said, you're right. We murdered Zechariah. This is the blood of the Navi. And it was still bubbling. So Nebuzradan, the executioner, the Babylonian executioner, said, I'm going to kill Jews until Zechariah's blood stops bubbling. And one by one, he went through different strata of society. First, he murdered the Sanhedrin, and that didn't quiet the blood. Then he murdered the Sanhedrin Katana. That didn't quiet the blood. Then he murdered young men and women. That didn't quiet the blood. Then he murdered little children, and it still didn't quiet the blood. So he screamed up to Zechariah's neshama. He says, Zechariah, do you want me to murder the entire country, the entire people? At which point, Zechariah's blood quieted and was stilled. At that point, Nebuzradan says, wait a second. He says, if one person who's killed can lead to such consequences, then look how many people I've murdered, not just in this moment, but in my career, and what consequences I'm going to have to face in Shemayim. So he goes home, he writes a will for his kids, puts his affairs in order, and he becomes a ger. So this is the second story of one of our enemies. Remember, we talked about Nero and Caesar becoming a ger. This is the second story of one of our enemies becoming a ger. Now, this is the hardest share I've ever given after Shacharis. What are the features that this story is highlighting? So number one, by the way, if you're listening to the share, the reason it's so loud is because we just finished the Mishmar in Yeshiva, an all-night learning on the last night of Yeshiva, Erev Tisha B'Av. So everyone was here and everyone's filing out very loudly, saying goodbye to each other before the summer's month is over. People listening, I don't know why it's so loud. So there are three or four features that this story highlights. First of all, one of the great failures of the first Beis HaMikdash was, instead of listening to the Nevi'im and accepting their moral rebuke and trying to improve, they were very, very disrespectful, antagonistic, violent towards the Nevi'im. They killed Zechariah. They were about to kill Yirmiah. I'm too tired after the Mishmar, but there's my mind's escaping me. There was another Navi that they killed. I forgot the name of the other Navi they killed. I'm sorry, it will come to me. But when Yirmiyah is sent by Hashem in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah to go chastise and reprimand the Jewish people, he's terrified. They're going to beat him up. They're going to stone him. Hashem has to promise him, I'll protect you. And still that didn't work. They arrested him. And he was only saved by some foreign invasion that found him. Some foreign ruler invaded the Jewish people and saw that he was arrested, waiting execution, and he liberated him. I wish I could remember. I have a mental block right now, which other Navi they killed. But they killed the Nevi'im. And it wasn't just that they were recalcitrant and that refused to listen to the Nevi'im, but the reason Hashem chose us is because we're able to process Nevuah. That's what the Kuzari says. One of the national traits the Jews possess is the ability to process Nevuah. And now the Nevi'im are coming, and by rejecting their Musar, we're basically rejecting the whole concept of Nevuah. If someone rejects Nevuah, you're a kofir. That's one of the Ikari Hemuna. So one of the failures in the first Beis HaMikdash was not just that they were stubborn and they didn't listen to a Musar Shmuz by their Rebbeim, but they rejected the Nevuah and the Tochacha coming from the Nevi'im, and they sabotaged the authority of the Nevi'im, and that was heresy, by not listening to the Nevi'im and killing the Nevi'im. Okay? So that's one of the highlights of the story, that by killing so many millions of people surrounding Zechariah's death, this story is highlighting their response to Nevi'im and their killing and arresting of Nevi'im, their violence towards the Nevi'im. The second issue that this story highlights is that they had no compunction about killing him in the Beis HaMikdash. It's one thing if you want to kill a Navi. Take him out back and kill him. Take him to the side and kill him. But to kill someone literally in the Beis HaMikdash shows that they defiled and desecrated the Beis HaMikdash. Again, probably because they're just too comfortable with the Beis HaMikdash. One of the other sins of the first Beis HaMikdash is that they were so confident and so comfortable. We have sovereignty, we have Mikdash. When you become so confident and comfortable, you lose the holiness and the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. And they felt so comfortable, they even killed a Navi. Like, it's so astounding. You'd figure, go somewhere in the dark, in a dark alley, and whack him and chop his head off or shoot him between the eyes. Here, they were so brazen and they were so comfortable in the Beis HaMikdash that they killed this Navi literally in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the second aspect this story highlights. To me, the largest aspect this story highlights is the irony. What I mean the irony is as follows. We're supposed to be an Arla Goyim. We're supposed to be a moral role model for the nations of the world. During the first Beis HaMikdash, we experienced a complete and total moral collapse. Second Beis HaMikdash was all right. We lived morally. We just had civil war, strife, a lot of hatred. First Beis HaMikdash was a total moral collapse. Adultery, murder, idolatry, which fed the two. In a world of idolatry, there's no surveillance, there's no accountability to a one God. So you can do whatever you want. You can cheat on people, steal their wives, kill them, behead them, eat their flesh. Not that they ate the flesh, but there's a lot of murder and a lot of idolatry. Now, we're supposed to be an Or LaGoyim. And here we are, and our dirty laundry is being shown in public. It's not just that we're failing and experiencing a total moral collapse, but this representative from the other nations is coming in. Now he's the Mashgiach. Who's the Mashgiach in this story? The executioner. We're less moral than a mass murderer. It's like Jeffrey Dahmer. If you know who Jeffrey Dahmer was, famous mass murderer. Like Jeffrey Dahmer is walking into the Beis Medrash, notorious man, and giving us Musa. But that's what's happening because we killed our Navi. And here you have the inversion where we're supposed to be moving the world and advancing it morally. Not only are we failing in our own world, we're failing to send that message to the broader world. And the murderers in the broader world, they're the ones who are coming and giving us Musar. And in the end of the day, he does reform. But he doesn't reform because he sees the Jews. He reforms because, you know, in his own conscience, something stirs. He kills millions of people. He says, you know what, I can't do this. So there's just the sadness that this isn't the way the first Beis HaMikdash was supposed to go down. We were supposed to be representatives of morality. We were supposed to teach the world morality. We failed. Our dirty laundry is being hung in public. People are now coming with these terrible, terrible murderous records, and they're trying to criticize us for being immoral and kill us as that sentence. And their only moral recovery is internal, not because they see anything in us that's morally redeeming. So these are the three aspects of the story. Number one, our rejection of the Nevi'im. Number two, our brazenness in killing the Navi in the Beis HaMikdash. Number three is that we've totally and utterly failed in our mission of trying to morally improve the world.